Our scripture reading is Ezekiel 2, 1 to 5. He said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are imprudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, and they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. This is the word of God.
Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, when we become stubborn and unbelieving, open our hearts to receive your word. Then set us free to follow in the power of Christ's love. Amen. So I'm going to take a few weeks this summer to go way back into the Old Testament and talk about some of the prophets, the people who speak on behalf of God. I think that sometimes we take the prophets in the Hebrew Bible just a little bit for granted. They're often like sort of marginal and quite honestly, they're really strange characters. And they're from so long ago that they hardly feel relevant to today. Like, what does that mean for us today? And yeah, our life here in the 21st century is vastly different from the 6th century BC. But at the same time, humans are basically the same. And my hope is that as we see these prophets responding to their everyday situations, we'll be able to see how God is speaking to us and guiding us to be prophets, both as individuals and as a church. And I hope that you can see that it's perfectly normal for God's revelation to be given through other humans, that the work that God is calling us to is wholly based on the presence and the availability of God's call. So we're going to start with Ezekiel. Let me first of all say, I love Ezekiel. The whole book is just a weird and wild ride. He does all sorts of like really bizarre things. He, you know, goes a long time without speaking. He lies on his left side for a while. He shaves his head. He cooks his food over dung. He has all sorts of wild and elaborate visions. And people have come up, you know, since forever with these speculations on like, well, dude, what was up with Ezekiel? You know, what was up with his mental or physical health? Like, did he maybe have epilepsy or catatonic schizophrenia? Maybe he was using psychedelic drugs. My all-time favorite, aliens. And most of those things have some degree of plausibility. But also, let's not discount God's involvement. We know that Ezekiel was the son of a priest, and he was trained to be a priest before he and almost everybody else was deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Ezekiel was the first prophet to receive a call from God outside of Jerusalem. And it's because of that call that he is credited with reshaping religious beliefs, the Judean religious beliefs, by making God present in the exilic community. Let me explain. before the exile. All worship occurred in the Jerusalem temple. The Jerusalem temple is where God lived. If you wanted to be with God, you had to travel to Jerusalem. And that was the worst part for the Israelites that were kicked out. Sure, they lost their homes and all their possessions, but the worst part was that they were removed from God and they had no way to worship. And then they get word that the temple, God's house, had been destroyed. That is the world that shaped Ezekiel's message. If we go back in the very first thing that happens in the book of Ezekiel, right before our passage for today, we're given the weirdness, like, right off the bat. Ezekiel is sitting by a river in Babylon, and he sees something that's wholly unimaginable. The throne of God appears from within a fierce storm cloud, and it's carried by these strange four-winged, four-headed creatures with these wheels upon wheels with eyeballs in them. Okay. And then Ezekiel hears God speak. Mortal, get on your feet. I want to have a word. Can you imagine how incredibly overwhelming? I would be terrified. I would be filled with awe and wonder. So it's no wonder Ezekiel lost control of his body. He can't stand up. So his spirit enters into him and sets him on his feet. And God continues to talk, giving Ezekiel the essential, the bare minimum essentials of his call. Mortal, I'm sending you to the people of Israel, to the people who have rebelled against me and continue to do so. They are impudent and stubborn. When you go, say to them, thus says the Lord God, regardless of whether they listen to you or not, they will know that a prophet was among them. Ezekiel doesn't say a single word. I'd probably be trying to pick my jaw off the floor if I encountered God in this sort of way. Most interesting to me is that God never uses Ezekiel's name. In Hebrew, he's referred to as Ben Adam. It's a Hebrew idiom that means son of human beings, or in our translation, mortal. And I think that this shows that Ezekiel's function is to be a prophet for the species. And that designation is more important than his individual status. It also works to define a pretty clear line between humanity and divinity. So God tells Ezekiel the essential elements of his call. He's to go to these rebellious people. He's to confront them. They've revolted by rejecting their religious and their ethical responsibilities. And even more, success is not dependent upon the people's response. What matters here is Ezekiel's obedience. The people will figure it out. They will know that a prophet has spoken. The point of sending Ezekiel out is to show the people that despite the hardship of exile, God is still involved. God still cares. God is still concerned for them, even though they're continually sinning and stubborn about that. Directly after this passage, Ezekiel is presented with a scroll. This illumination that I've chosen here is Ezekiel eating the scroll. This scroll is filled with words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And Ezekiel is told to eat it. And even though that scroll is filled with all sorts of bitter words, it tastes sweet. In general, prophets weren't and aren't really sent to deliver messages of sunshine and roses. What Ezekiel had to say was pretty difficult. And people don't tend to respond to challenging messages incredibly favorably. The reactions to the messenger can be even worse than that. Even if, like Ezekiel, the messenger carries a respected status, like priest. So Ezekiel's call story had me thinking this week. What is it that God calls us to? So I believe that we are, both as individuals and as a church, called to be present in the world to enable people to engage with the glory of God, to help facilitate that communication between God and God's people. But in order to do that, we have to have our own ears and hearts open to God's voice, to God's grace, to God's mercy. What we learn from Ezekiel is that God sends both the message and the messenger. We're not always sure how to respond to that because we're accustomed to receiving God's word through Jesus. But God's word is also found in the lives of our fellow imperfect human beings, you and me. That means that God also gives us the courage to be proclaimers. God has chosen to send Glenshaw Valley, spread out on the floor, hardly able to move. God has enabled us to say to the nations, "Thus says the Lord." We live in this culture that is obsessed with measurements and statistics and sometimes wonder what kind of effect that we're having as individuals, as a church. Is any of this worth it? I think about the frustrations that the deacons have come across when they don't get a response from multiple emails or phone calls or cards that they send out each month. Those unanswered calls, the no responses, that's so disheartening. But what I've been trying to help them with, and all of you, is that Ezekiel shows us God has a completely different metric, a completely different measurement for what success is. We are sent to say and do what God instructs. Ezekiel's call, our call, is to speak God's word to the people, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Their response is not our concern. Our effectiveness as a church is not measured by how many people are in the pews on Sunday morning. The only measurement that God uses to determine success is whether or not we have responded to the call. Whether or not we've delivered the message about God's unwavering faithfulness and love. This mere mortal finds that to be a huge relief. The heart of the matter is discerning God's call for us. I am not the only one who has been called. Each and every single one of you has a call that God has placed on your life. What inner nudging have you been feeling? What has been tugging at your heart? What sense of passion has been on your mind? When you think about the future, what kind of possibilities bring you excitement and joy? Take some time this week to think about that. And remember, the only way to fail is to not answer God's call. Thanks be to God. Amen.